Welcome to another edition of More Than Football here at the Triple M Studios. My name is Tim Baker, and today I get to talk to my esteemed colleague, Director of Football, Bruce Chitte. Welcome, mate.
Thanks for having me, esteemed colleague.
Yeah, well, you know, we are now. And I was thinking about that because, you know, we've been working together for a few months, but we haven't really had the opportunity necessarily to really get to know each other, Bruce. And I feel like this might be our opportunity.
Well, you know what? I was surprised by the lack of, you know, team building in the office environment, you know. Being a player, you got a few dinners, you know, team That's dinners, true. Nights out. Yeah. I think it's sorely lacking in our office at this stage.
Yeah, I think so. yeah, we'll just put that out there. No, well, everyone's so busy. That's part of a busy period. The off season.
That's a busy period.
Yeah, it is. The off season is actually a really busy period. So, you know, I have friends and family who'd be like, "Oh, so you must get some time off now." It's like, nope. We gotta prepare for the next season. Mm. So, with that in mind, you are a busy man. So, I do appreciate that you're sitting down with me today. You've made time. But
I was late. I'll apologize for that.
That's all right. Well, you know, in podcast land, it's on demand. Yeah. There's no times. It's fine. What I do want to talk about is, like, your role is one of the busiest of all. And I think perhaps over, because I see everything that happens on social, and so let that be a lesson to everybody listening, I see it all. There is this perception out there that even if we're not signing players, like, we're really just not doing anything.
Mm.
And that couldn't be further from the truth. So take us inside your role, because you're always talking to agents, you're always talking to players, and, you know, you're always on. So just take us inside what a day is in your position.
Yeah, well, the days are pretty busy. Starts with a school drop-off early in the morning, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
if I drive into work, but... You know, it depends on who we're signing and pretty much where they come from. So earlier on in the piece, when we were concentrating more on our foreign players, speaking to Christian Opseth's agent, who's in Norway, Michael Maria's in Holland, you know, I'm getting calls at 2, 3 a.m. because over there it's lunchtime for them, you know, and I'd always ask them, well, I'm always on your time, you know, it's 2 in the morning here.
Yeah.
So the hours are pretty long. It's I won't say nonstop, but the hours are pretty long, which is fine. I don't mind. I like being busy. So a lot happens before the signing, right? So I'd assume people understand it. Maybe they don't, but... before the public knows of a signing or anything gets released, there would be anywhere from, you know, 2 to 6 weeks of work that probably has gone into it. So from initial contact, whether we contact the agents or an agent's putting players to us, which happens all the time. I've got a pretty good filter now in my, in my inbox for, you know, rubbish agents and... take them seriously, agents. Yeah. And once you filter through all that, I mean, initially I came with a short list of people I wanted anyway. So I know all the Aussie players. I think it's important to have good Aussie players in your team if you want to be challenging. So I just targeted my short list. So all the people sending me players and everything was all noise to me, unless it was something spectacular that I needed to stand up and take note of, which there wasn't really. You know, I just worked off my short list, and the list was about 8 players long, so not a great deal. I didn't have to do a great number of signings in terms of volume. We've kept our squad pretty much intact from last season, but... you know, on that list, there was a number that we couldn't get, actually. And to be fair, the ones close to the top of the list, we were able to get, which has been positive. Didn't envisage losing Craig Goodwin, so we've lost some good players too.
Yep.
We've gained some good players as well. If the players we've signed have good seasons, I think we're in a better position than what we were last year. In saying that, business is still not done, so... still talking to a few and hopefully sign at least one more before the season starts. But that's the thing. You have a lot of talks, you have a lot of negotiations, there's a lot of clauses, you know, the timing, the salary is obviously a big thing. for the players and the agents. So all those sort of things need to align.
Mm-hmm.
The coach has to tick off on it as well. You know, he's, you know, I'm trying to give him the best ingredients to create the best product. He's going to be the one working with the ingredients to create the product day in, day out.
Yeah.
My work after 2 to 6 weeks is finished, right? In the sense that the player's landed and he's here and now he's training every day with the coach. So it's important the coach has more interaction with the players than I do, is happy with the people we're signing as well. So far it's been so good. But yeah, there's a lot of work. Like, I don't envy, I mean, it depends how you want to do your job. You can do it properly or you can just do it to do it. I don't envy the Brisbans and the Wellingtons of the world who had to sign 13, 14 players. Yeah. But look, you can do this job and just sign Tom, Dick and Harry, of course. But if you want to do it well, I think you've got to be diligent and really nitpick who you want to bring into the club.
And you certainly have done that. And, you know, it just that insight into the process, because it's not just, okay, we're going to have him and then we're going to sign him and then, okay, we're done. It's not like that at all.
There's a lot of convincing involved. You know? No, you don't want to go there. Why do you want to go there? You want to come here. You know, this is the best place for you to play your football. You know, what's not to love about Adelaide and Adelaide United Football Club? You know,
yeah, that's right. And you know, at a club like ours as well, it's we're on the smaller side compared to the A-League, so you're asked to do things outside of your role a little bit too, and everyone has to pitch in and do things too. So, you know, there are other aspects and other things that come into play day to day that you just don't necessarily account for.
Yeah, definitely. But to be fair, that's one of the key reasons I took the role. You know, if I was just completely siloed into football, then I probably wouldn't have taken it, if I'm honest. Yeah. But the ability to help the guys in commercial or to help Ruben in community or Jordan with the media gives me a greater sort of scope. It makes my day a bit more dynamic as well. You know, I get to come here and do a podcast
instead of
sitting at my office and replying to emails during this time. So that sort of keeps it fresh, keeps it good. And, you know, I'm passionate about community and I'm passionate about the media. You know, so being in those spaces and operating in those spaces or lending a helping hand, if you like, is something that I do really enjoy doing.
Anytime you want to jump in the digital space for me, mate, you can.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the digital space. I like to work in the real world.
Yeah, fair enough. I understand. But what do you think's been your biggest challenge so far? Is it job related, or is it like the balancing of work life and family?
Probably work life balance. We don't have a great work life balance in our office either, if I'm honest. But I enjoy the work side of it. I've always enjoyed being busy and doing stuff. Like even when I played, I didn't just play; I studied at the same time, and just playing football wasn't sort of enough. So I enjoy how busy it is. And to be fair, on the weekends, I don't answer my phone unless it's really important. I mean, I'll just call people back on Monday, you know.
Yeah.
And probably now people are like, I can't get a hold of Bruce on the weekend, you know. But over time they'll say, don't bother calling Bruce on the weekend.
Yeah, I get it.
He doesn't answer the freaking phone. Because on the weekend, it's all about the family for me.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously now it's in season and the games are on during the weekend. Like I said, if the name pops up and it's important, I'm answering that call.
Yeah.
If the name pops up and they don't leave a voicemail I'll just call them back on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. I can agree. Like,
you've got to prioritize these things.
You got it. That's right. And, you know, I might be in the digital space, but like I do not check my emails when I go home at night. You know, I go see my daughter and my wife and then, you know.
I'll check my emails. I don't really early in the morning.
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3
a.m. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
I've got an email from you.
You know, I might get up and I'll be like, let me just check what's happening here.
Yeah.
You know, and then it saves me time in the day, to be fair. Yeah.
For me, social's a different story. I'll, I can't help myself sometimes and I'll jump in and I may answer a message or an inbox or something at, you know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night just because I don't want to leave people hanging.
Mm.
But, for the most part, try to shut off.
Yeah.
But are there any aspects, you know, of the job that you weren't expecting that have now surprised you, disappointed you? Maybe not disappointed. Let's not go negative, but.
No. The only thing that surprised me has been the involvement of parents. in our youth team.
Okay.
Which is strange because their kids are about 20 years old.
Right.
So I didn't expect that. That was the unexpected. I don't mind it. I mean, you know, good on them for having a keen interest in the rest. But that was a surprise, yeah.
Yeah, okay. In what ways? I don't know if I want to poke the bear here, but...
No, poking. So we restructured our youth setup in the sense that we've cut back the numbers. We had too many numbers. We had 36 players for two teams, host of players not playing, and host of players not playing enough. So now we've cut that back to about 30, 29 odd. And the idea is that those players will play 90 minutes because you got to think that there'll obviously be some injuries. Some people will be away, with national teams so that those squads will run pretty thin. But in saying that, instead of pushing people down the ladder, which is what we were doing, scholarship players coming down to play youth, youth players going down to play reserves, reserves players not playing at all, and a host of youth players not playing at all either. We're going to start pushing them up. So we'll push them up from NTC. We'll keep scouting outside of NTC. You know, some of the NPL clubs have some good talented young players and some good programs. So they'll fill up the reserves. Reserves will fill up the youth if there's a shortage. And the youth, the best ones, should be sitting on the bench, if not playing, in the A-League. That's the idea that I have in my mind. So in that process, you've got to cut a few people. And the process, the reasoning is quite legitimate. I mean, a lot of the boys who weren't happy with being cut, which was all of them, obviously. Some took it better than others. Some saw it coming, some didn't. But I said to all of them, there's no point you wearing our tracksuit not playing any games, buddy. Yeah. It doesn't work. Yeah. It's not good for us because you're not developing as you should. It's not good for you. Because you're not playing enough games, developing as you should. It's not good for the NPL clubs who could do with more talented players, and we're just hoarding players here. It doesn't work. So look, and I got some call from some parents and blah, blah, blah. What do you mean? Little Johnny's not in the team sort of thing. And that can happen. That's fine. But as a 20-year-old, like when I was 21, I was in Turkey by myself. My parents were not involved in my football. Probably the reason I had an okay career. I think some parents can damage their kids. And it's not just me. Imagine being a school teacher now.
Yeah.
I speak to some school teachers. They're like, Bruce, you've got no idea. Like, kid fails maths, it's a teacher's fault, you know. It's a school's fault. You're not educating my kid. No, your kid's just not intelligent. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Or he's intelligent, but he's just not good at maths. He could be good at something else.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm seeing that, but it's not just here. It's I think it's society. It's a broader context,
broader
around
theme.
This. Yeah, it's a broader theme.
100%. How difficult are those conversations to have?
Yeah, difficult conversations. I don't shirk them. I mean,
no, definitely not.
I want to go to bed. I got young kids too. Yeah. So I want to go to sleep thinking, you know, dad's a good guy. He didn't do anything wrong today. And the right thing is to have the tough conversation and to let everyone know where they stand rather than sugarcoating things, leading people down a garden path where they just approach the cliff and in the end, they're not going to make it anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, the difficult conversation, and there's been a host of them since taking the role, are welcomed by me. I don't mind them. At least I'm being honest.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But if I want to be the nice guy with everyone, then at the end of the day, it's going to become a big mess, everything. And then I'll really have problems because I wouldn't have been genuine, you know. So the conversations are only difficult in the fact that you're delivering negative news sometimes, you know. But that also depends on how people want to take it. I mean, if we go back to the youth setup, you know, I came here on trial as an 18, 19-year-old and I didn't get selected first time around. And, you know, the John Cosmina chose Nathan Burns, more versatility, yada, yada. I had to go back to the AIS. I came back. They back then used to have injury replacement contracts. I'd come back for 4 weeks, go back to the AIS when that player rehabbed himself, then come back for 4 weeks if someone else got injured. You know, I did that for about 6 months.
Yep, I remember.
You know, I didn't just give up and say, okay, well, if if you're not going to pick me now, then yeah. I'm going to spit chips. I was like, no, okay, that's fine, you know, but I'm going to go back to the RES and make sure that if Adelaide or another club call me up,
mm-hmm.
I'm game ready to play. Yeah. I can rock up and not skip a beat, you mm-hmm. know, or miss a beat. I'm finding that mentality less in our youth setup anyway. Whether that's our fault or the individual's fault, I'm not quite sure.
Where does that strength and that ability to have those difficult conversations or bounce back from rejection or whatever, mm. where do you think that trait in you comes from?
I've always been an honest guy. Yeah. So like even now people say like, oh, is it hard? Like you got to negotiate contracts with people you played with or, you know, you're in charge of your mates almost, you know. But I've always been really good at compartmentalizing things.
Yeah.
I never brought, if I was having a bad patch in football, never brought it home. If things were going well, I didn't get ahead of myself. If things were going bad, I didn't get down on myself. I've always been able to keep a pretty even keel. Mm. I'm pretty good at controlling that voice in your head, my head, you know what I mean? So, I had negotiations. Some people on my shortlist getting offers, I don't know, 50% more than what we could offer,
mm-hmm.
probably 25% more than what they deserve to get paid. And I told them, I said, mate, you got to take that.
Yeah.
You know as well as I do, you're not worth that. And so take it. I can have that discussion because that's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I guess maybe not too many people can do that, but I've been like that since I was a player, since I was at school, since forever. So when I say that to someone I know, they're like, yeah, only you would say that. You know? But it's right. It's true. You know, it's same negotiating contracts. You know, I know what market value is for most of these players. I can offer them a fair deal and tell them it's fair. Or, you know, I'm not the type, and, you know, I know the club's done this back in the day where they'd offer a contract knowing that that person's not going to accept it because it's just such a poor offer.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. Yep. I'd rather have the discussion and say, listen, buddy, what we could offer you is so rubbish, I'm not even going to bother offering you anything. You know, just, it's not going to work. I'd rather take that approach rather than... You know, because at least I think if you disagree with someone or you have a different view, as long as you can justify it and you're honest about it, they might be pissed off with you or upset at the time. But going forward, there'll be a moment where they say, you know what, that was probably fair enough.
Yeah.
You know, if it's reasonable, you know, if it's all above board and it's all on the table, that's a rational person will come to that conclusion. Yeah. It's when you do things like lowballing someone or show some sort of disrespect, then in the future, also, they'll remember you for that.
Mm.
You know, so it's better to have the difficult conversation now and have mutual respect going forward than to sort of duck and weave now and then fracture that relationship for the future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of already said it there. Yeah. It's, you know, do you find then that these players that you're talking to and you're being upfront with like that there is, you're establishing that trust, even if you don't sign them, that trust and that respect.
Mm.
So who knows, you know, you may come back together later on.
Exactly. You never know. It's a small world, man.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a really small world.
LA's even smaller.
Exactly. So it's important not to burn your bridges. And if you don't want to burn your bridges, just treat everyone, you know, equally and fairly and honestly.
That does it for part one with Bruce Gitte. Stay tuned for part two, where we find out how Bruce rates himself in his role so far and a little bit more that goes beyond football.